interesting what a platform the club gave us to do all this creativity, to be creative, to do things. And this also encouraged Stasz Metelski to produce a fanzine called Headbang. So, because, as I explained earlier, the music scene was ripe. You couldn't walk out of a door without finding a pub where a band was playing. And at that point in time, there were lots and lots of young bands forming, like the Thompson Twins, for example. They used to play regularly in Brixton, the original lineup of the two guitarists. This was way before the trendy Thompson Twins with the electric keyboards. Tom Bailey decided, okay, yeah, he will do an interview with Stasz Metelski. So Stasz Metelski did an interview with Tom Bailey. This is before he became famous. And Stasz also was very, very much into punk in Poland. And Stasz would go over to Poland, pick up all the latest punk singles that he could get his hands on whilst he was in Poland, and would introduce that music to us. So because we had no idea what was going on in Poland, but this is still, this was basically about the worst time in Poland, 1982-83, when we had Stanwojny, the war situation. And so that was all very, very interesting as well. So from there, we had this musical base to build up from. We kind of split up for a while. People went their own ways, but everybody stayed musical. So Chris Grubart joined a number of bands. Bogdan joined a number of bands. I joined another number of bands. I even formed a short-term combination with Peter and Mariusz Sorociński to go off the demo studio to do some demo tapes. And it's lots and lots of fun. We were very free and easy. We would come out and do whatever we wanted to do, and it was very, very enjoyable. And we also had the club to meet up in the evenings and have drinks and everything else. And also, as before, Elmfield Road was another hub for the Młodzież, so it would be a meeting point. But that part behind the Polish club, there were lots and lots of Polish families, like the Knops, just two roads up. Then you had Sorociński and Bogdanowiczowe around the corner. Then you had Czechanowicze and Tunley Road. And then you had the Piwowarcy moved to Tunley Road as well. And after Polish club, we'd all go back to my flat and we'd continue drinking and chatting, or we'd go off to see bands together. Then we'd come back and sit in Lech. It was at that point in time we managed to get rid of some of the lodges. So Lech Bogdanowicz moved in with us. Bogdan Bławak moved in with us. So it was a very young people's house. And we would drive my granny nuts. Prime example, Schwingelstingus. Schwingelstingus was a very, very popular tradition with us over here. We don't consider ourselves to be Polish or anything, but it's so much fun wetting people during Sunday morning. No, Monday morning, get it right, Monday morning, Easter Monday morning. And what we had situations where we had guests staying with us. So, for instance, because Richard was very much involved with a volleyball and also with Basia Klimas's dancing group. So we quite often had volleyball tournaments and things. We'd have a Belgian volleyball team staying with us, and so we'd let them sleep in. So we'd all my room would be used for about the boys and the boys' volleyball team. Richard's room would be used for the girls' volleyball team. And both of us I'd either sleep with Lech upstairs, or Richard would sleep with Bogdan, or back around my parents' place, which is just around the corner. And Schwingelstingus came along, and basically buckets of water everywhere. And we're running around throwing water over each other's house, soaking wet, stairs looking like a waterfall. And my granny comes out and says, "Jaka tradycja to jest? Co wy robicie?" Shmingles Dingles, Granny, it's Shmingles Dingles. And Granny said, fine tradition, you're all speaking in English. It's Polish tradition, you should be speaking in Polish. And she wasn't happy about us running around. But it took about 2 weeks to drive a house. But it was great fun. So where would you like us to go now?
How long have you lived at your granny's house?
Michael got married in 77, so Michael moved out in 77. So I moved in about September 77. So when I started redoing my A-levels, going to South London, Southwest London College or something, where my mother was a lecturer, Bogdan and I repeated our A-levels there, 1 year repeat course to redo our A-levels. And so I moved in 77. Then there were two friends of my, acquaintances of my grandmother, both Polish people, single men, bachelors, who lived in two of the other rooms in the property. Once we managed to one left, and that room went free. So I managed to talk to my parents and say, can Lech go in that room? Lech can live in there and everything else. And my mum agreed, okay, if Lech wants to live there, Lech can live there. And basically Lech ended up living there. And as per usual, my mother wasn't very good at collecting rent from him, so he ended up almost living there rent-free. And he had a pretty cushy time there. And then once he moved in, within 6 or 8 months, because we'd have these late night chats and playing music and everything, the person below got very, very annoyed with us. And he's thinking, well, this is not nice living here. So he decided to move out as well. And we got Bogdan to move in. And so by 1978, it was a very young people's house, just my grandmother and another gentleman who lived on the ground floor. And it was myself, Richard, my brother Richard, Lech, and Bogdan. And we had a great time. It was wonderful. It was a very, very creative house because it gave me the ability to, I had a very large room where I could have a drawing board and I was drawing and was at that point in time, I wanted to become an artist as well. So once I finished my A-levels, I went to art school to do a foundation course, and that totally disillusioned me in art altogether. And became an art college dropout, which is exactly the right thing you want to be if you want to go into music. So, because all the top musicians were art school dropouts, but it didn't get me anywhere. Also, we had a Polish club literally down the road. So every evening, if nothing else is going on, we'd look at our watches at 10 o'clock and we got an hour left of drinking time. Who wants to go to the club? We'd all go down to the club, have a couple of drinks for the last hour or two at the club, and then back home. And this was how we lived for a considerable length of time. And that went on until 1982. My parents decided enough was enough. My grandmother wasn't capable of living there on her own. She'd already moved back to my parents' house because, of course, no children were living there by then, so they had spare rooms. It was an effort to go around to my grandmother's every day with food and keep an eye on my grandmother. She was rather healthy under the circumstances, but weaker and weaker. She was already in her middle 80s by then. So she moved around to my parents about late 1980, 81. So her flat was going free for about a year and a half, but nobody moved into it. So we used it as a communal rooms, and occasionally would set up musical instruments in there as well, and practice and things like that. So by 83, 84, that's when Hysteria Ward formed. That's another band that I formed with Bogdan and Michael Smith and Lou, and this band still exists to this very day. We would occasionally practice there, and at that point in time, we managed to get a friend of ours, Phil Stain from Canada. He became our drummer at that point in time. And he used to stay with us quite often. So did Michael Smith, but stay the entire weekends. We would still have this ability to maybe use Post Club all day Sunday or something like that. And But neither of them lived back locally, so they'd stay with us. Lou always preferred to go home and not stay with us. Being a girl, maybe she felt out of place. We would regularly that way sort of have a very social time, plus have the ability and time to practice with, musically with, together. Then there's also, on the other side, the artistic side. I was trying, basically, repeating the A-levels and everything else. I already decided I wanted to go to art school, but I knew I had to do a portfolio. So I was doing a lot of drawings and everything else to build up this portfolio. At that point in time, Stefan Bogdanovic was in very much still in charge of Hrtsesvo in those days, decided to start a gazette called Zlavisha. And, basically our Polish gromada group was called Czarna Zlavisza, I believe. And Zlavisza Czarna, get it right. So Stefan decided that he liked the idea of fanzines. I'm sure he came across what Stash was doing with Headbanger and Venu Barales, and thought to himself, "Oh, the young people will read this, and it will encourage the young people to contribute and put in ideas." So he managed to convince Krzysztof Gebhardt to be the editor, and he approached me and he said, "Look, Andrew, can you do some artwork for this?" And I said, "Fine, yeah, no problem." So this is a quarterly handout, photocopied, bulk photocopied at Vista Print or something like that. So I had to produce artwork for a cover and inside illustrations for this quarterly magazine for the next couple of years, which also gave me something to put into my portfolio. So, and was very enjoyable as well. And also it gave me something to work with other people. So myself and Leszek came up with ideas for little cartoon strips inside there and things like that, which was also lots of fun to do.